وقل رب زدني علما.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وموالاه. أما بعد، إن شاء الله تعالى we continue the class we taken from the شرح الشيخ سليمان رحيل حفظه الله على كتاب صحيح الترغيب والترهيب الشيخ الألباني رحمه الله. This is page 13. After the Sheikh gave that class, he was asked questions at the end of the class. The first question, they said, جزاكم الله خيرا وبارك الله فيكم نفع الله بما سمعنا أحسن الله إليكم. هذا يقول عمارة موقوفة لكن تكلفة إصلاحها عالية جدا بسبب إهمال اللجنة السابقة، هل يجوز بيعها وإنفاق ثمنها على بقية الوقف؟ The Sheikh was asked about the endowment, the waqf, that it was a building, but fixing it so it can function properly needs a lot of expenses because of the negligence of the previous people who were supposed to take care of it. Therefore, is it allowed to sell it and to spend its money on the rest of the endowment? The Sheikh said, الأصل أن الوقف لا يغير إلا إذا تعطل بالكلية أو بما يشبه التعطل بالكلية. لكن إذا صارت كلفة صيانتي أعلى من مدخولي وأمكن بيعه مثلا لأن الأرض يرغب فيها الناس، فهناك من يريد أن يشتري الأرض ليبني عليها، يهدم هذا ويبني عليه شيئا آخر، فإنه في هذه الحال يجوز بيعه لأنه لو ترك لتعطل، ما تمكن صيانته ولا ينتفع به، ثم يشترى بالثمن ما يجعل وقفا، ولو كانت عمارة أصغر ولو كانت بيتا أصغر لكن يشترى مثله ولو أصغر منه بالثمن ليكون وقفا محل الأول. The Sheikh said the ruling and the origin of the endowment of the waqf is that nothing should be changed. It should remain as it was made endowment by the donors, unless it's not functioning at all, or it's almost is not functioning. But if it is expenses and taking care of it and fixing it is more expensive than the profit or the income, then in this case, it's allowed to sell it because people, they want the land. There are some people who wanted the land and they want to build something on it. They destroy this building and they build another one on it. In this situation, it's allowed to sell it. Because if it's not, then it's not going to function, will not be beneficial. And it's not possible to fix it. No one benefits from it. Then after selling it, the money which come out of it should be made another waqf, which is another building, even if it's a small one, or a small house, to buy something similar to it, even if it is smaller than it, in order the endowment remain on the previous position. So, somebody, he make endowment, a building for the orphans, the outcome of the building or the hotel to be spent to the orphan. Okay, the hotel now, because of whatever happened, earthquake or anything, it can't be fixed. Or the money to fix it is more than the income being expected from it. In this case, even though the ruling is not to sell this endowment, not waqf, not to sell the waqf, but now, because of the reality, is not functioning, is not doing what it was made waqf for it. The sheikh said here, sell it. But the money should be only used another building. To continue, another hotel, if it was hotel, another restaurant, if it was restaurant, another masjid, if it was masjid, even if it is smaller than the first one, in order the endowment to remain as it is. So sadaqah given to the masjid cannot be given for orphans, or cannot be given for fixing highways. If even that masjid is no more use, people migrate from that area, no Muslim is there. Nasallahu salamat wa al-afiyah. Masjid, what is going to do if there's no people? So now to sell the masjid, but to buy another masjid closest to that masjid, which can function. So not buying another thing, a masjid, because it was a masjid, it should remain a masjid. That's what it means here. طيب. Second question the Sheikh was asked, أحسن الله إليكم. هذا يقول ما حكم طباعة كتاب مكتوب طباعة كتاب مكتوب عليه جميع الحقوق محفوظة من غير إذن من جهة الناشرة أو الكاتب. The Sheikh was asked about printing the book, which there is on the book instruction saying that all the rights of the book is preserved for the publisher or for the author. Some books have that sign. All the rights is preserved for the author of the book or for the publisher. What's the rule of printing this book? الجواب الحقوق المعنوية كحقوق التأليف والطباعة أفتت المجامع الفقهية باعتبارها وأنها حقوق لأصحابها لا يجوز الاعتداء عليها. فلا تجوز طباعة الكتاب إذا كان طبعه محصورا على طابعه والحقوق محفوظة، فما دام أنه مكتوب عليه حقوق طبع محفوظة فلا يجوز طبعه. وكذلك إذا منع من تصويره فإنه لا يجوز تصويره إلا في حالة واحدة، إذا فقدت الطبعات في السوق، بحيث لو أراد طالب العلم الكتابة ليشتريه ما يجده وهو يحتاج إليه، فإن الذي أفتي به أنه يجوز له أن يصور منه ما يحتاج إليه. The Sheikh answered that the right is الحقوق المعنوية، how you translate معنوية، the invisible rights. There's physical rights and invisible rights. Physical rights like the money. معنوي. Copyrights. بارك الله فيك. يعني معنوي. That's copyrights, but what's the معنوي? الحقوق المعنوية. لا، معنوية يعني غير حسية. Intangible. Untangible rights. Barakallah fi awajims. Untangible rights. Untangible rights. Like the rights of the author of the book. The rights of the publisher. When someone authors a book, sometimes it takes years. Sometimes it takes months. Okay, this person, he spent so much time in this book. Okay. The publisher, not the author, he take this book and he write it down again, he put it in the computer. He may hire many employees. It may take a lot of time. So these people, they write, nobody can print, nobody can copy, except without permission. Because they want to sell copies of the book to get at least some of the money they spent to, some of the energy they spent to. So someone come in and easily printing it, make them lose that rights. So these are copyrights. The Sheikh said, the fuqaha, they give fatwa that it should be considered. And that is rights for Iris people. No one has a right to transgress it. It's not allowed to print it. If it is printing, it's limited to the printer. And the rights are preserved. As long as it is written on the book that the copyright is preserved, it's not allowed to print it. Likewise, if it's forbidden to take a picture of it, it's not allowed to picture it, to copy it. Because in this situation, unless the Sheikh said only one situation, if the book doesn't have any copy in the market, no printing, no book, where if the student of knowledge wants to get the book and to buy it, there's no book of it. It's online. It's PDF. He cannot find the book. You want to buy, there's no book. Sometimes it's out of market. The Sheikh said, in this case, I give fatwa. And the student, he needs that it's allowed in this case to picture the book. So you want that book. You want to buy that book. The book is out of the market. Now you can print that book. Other ulama, they say with a condition, you cannot sell it. You cannot make money out of it. The Sheikh mentioned here, but that's it. You only is personal use. Not when you're making money out of this book. The third question the Sheikh was asked, أحسن الله إليكم هذا يقول هل للمرأة المحرمة أن تلبس الجوربة لتستر رجليها؟ الجواب ما يسمى بالجوارب أو الشراب. وهو ما يجعل في القدمين يجوز للمرأة أن تلبسه. المرأة في حالة الإحرام إنما هي ممنوعة عن لبس القفازين والنقاب الذي تظهر منه العين أو العينان. أما الجوارب والشوارب والشرب شراب فلا تمنع من لبسهما. ويجوز للمرأة أن تلبس ما شاءت من الثياب ما يطلب منها ثوب أبيض ولا أخضر ولا كذا، تلبس ما شاءت من الثياب في الإحرام بشرط ألا يكون زينة ظاهرة، ولها أن تغير الثوب بغيره. ما ألزم إذا أحرمت بثوب، ما ألزم إذا أحرم بالثوب من ذوي الحليفة أن تطوف وتسعى به. إذا وصلت إلى الفندق وجدت مثلا أن الثوب يضايقها، لها أن تغيره وتلبس ثوبا آخر بشرط ألا يكون فيه طيب وألا يكون زينة ظاهرة في ذاته. The Sheikh was asked, is that allowed for a female who is making Hajj or Umrah to use their socks? The Sheikh said, what's called the socks, which is used for the feet, is lawful for the woman when she's in ihram to wear it. What she is not allowed is the qufazain, the one made for the hands, gloves, and the niqab, which is the one she can see, it's only one eye or two eye open. That one is not allowed. Qufazain, the gloves, and the niqab. But as for the socks, yes. Also, it's allowed for the female to dress, to wear whatever she wants of clothes when she is muhrimah. She's not required to dress certain clothes with a black or green or a color or the like. She dress whatever she wants of clothes in the ihram with a condition that is not, doesn't have apparent beauty, doesn't have beauty. Some women, they dress a cloth. It may be even hijab. Nice hijab, but it's a beauty, beautification. Stars on it, lightning is it, and the like. That's not hijab. That's not hijab. Hijab, the point is that this man is not attractive to this woman because of her clothes, because of her bed. But if she take a cloth, but that cloth itself is a beauty. Okay? Then now there's, where's the hijab? Where's the meaning of the hijab? The same thing, some women, they have hijab, they cover. Yes, the cloth is not beautiful. It's just a normal cloth. But it's very tight on her body. Where is the hijab? Where is the meaning of hijab? So the sheikh said, and she has right, and she can change her clothes if she wants. She reached to the hotel, and she found that her clothes, her dressing was very tight to her. She can change it. She can change another, she can dress another cloth. With the condition there is no perfume, and there is no apparent beauty. Then the sheikh is starting next class. And he said, Ma'ashir al-Mu'mineen, نواصل شرحنا لكتاب صحيح الترغيب والترهيب وأصل الكتاب الترغيب والترهيب للإمام الحافظ المحدث المنذر المنذري وصحيح الترغيب والترهيب لأمير المؤمنين في الحديث في زمان الألباني رحمه الله عز وجل وسائر علماء المسلمين ونحن نشرح كتاب الصيام من هذا الكتاب ولا زلنا مع الحديث الأول الذي أورده المصنف رحمه الله عز وجل من الأحاديث التي فيها الترغيب في الصوم في رمضان وفي غير رمضان وفيها بيان فضل الصوم في رمضان وفي غير رمضان وهذا الحديث الأول هو حديث أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه الذي اتفق عليه الشيخان فهو في غاية الصحة. The Sheikh mentioned that he is continuing explaining the book صحيح الترغيب والترهيب. The origin of the book is for the Imam Al-Hafidh Al-Munziri. And صحيح الترغيب والترهيب for the Amir of Hadith, the Imam of علم الحديث in our time, Sheikh Al-Albani رحمه الله عز وجل وسائر علماء المسلمين. The Sheikh said, we are explaining this book of fasting from this book. And we continue still on the first hadith, which there is التَّرْغِيب والتَّرْغِيب الحديث التي فيها الترغيب في الصوم. What is ترغيب in English? فيها الترغيب في الصوم. Encouragement. بارك الله. In fasting Ramadan and other than Ramadan. And there is also the virtue of fasting in Ramadan and other than Ramadan. And this first hadith is hadith Abu Huraira. That the two Shaykh and Bukhari and Muslim agree upon it. And it's authentic. Then the Shaykh said, فسر العلماء هذه الجملة يعني إلا الصيام فإنه لي وأنا أجزي به تفسيرات كثيرة وصل إلى 10 أقوال ولكن أقواها قولان. الأول أن معنى قول الله عز وجل في هذا الحديث القدسي كل عمل ابن آدم له أي أن كل عمل آدم أي أن كل عمل ابن آدم يعلم ثوابه ويعلم أجره ويعلم قدر ثوابه الحسنة بعشر أمثالها إلى 700 ضعف إلى أضعاف كثيرة يعلمه ابن آدم من حيث الجنس وتعلمه الملائكة من حيث ما يكتب من حيث ما يكتب فإن الملائكة تؤمر بكتابة ثوابه فيأمرها الله بأن تكتب له 10 حسنات 20 حسنة 70 حسنة 100 حسنة 700 حسنة أكثر من ذلك إلا الصيام فإنه لا يعلم قدر ثوابه مخلوق فإنه لله والله يجزي به. The Sheikh said, the people of knowledge gave the tafsir and explanation of this sentence in the hadith, every action of Adam is for son of Adam. Every righteous action is for the son of Adam except fasting. Allah said, it is for me. Means that every, the Sheikh said, the ulama they mentioned about 10 opinions, 10 meaning. But the strongest one is 2 opinion. The first one, it means that every action that the son of Adam does, its reward is known. Every hasana, 10 hasanat to 700, to more than that. The son of Adam knows in general, and the angels who write, they know it. Because the angels are commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to write the reward of those actions. That the person has 10 hasanat, 20, 17, 100, 700, or more than that. Except fasting, nobody knows the amount of reward the person who fasts deserves. Any creation, no creation knows. Because it is for Allah, and it's Allah alone subhanahu wa ta'ala who give the reward or of it. حتى قال بعض أهل العلم إن أقل تضعيف الصيام 700 يعني كل عمل تعمله أقل كل عمل يعني كل عمل تعمله أقل تضعيف 10 حسنات 10 بمثله. صليت العصر أقل شيء أن يثيبك الله على 10 صلوات عصر مثل التي صليت, وهكذا في بقية الأعمال إلا الصيام. قال بعض أهل العلم إن أقل تضعيف أن يجزى الإنسان 700 مثل. صمت يوما يكتب لك 700 مثل هذا اليوم ثوابا. وهذا قاله بعض أهل العلم, لكن الذي نقطع به أن الصيام لا يعلم قدر مضاعفته إلا الله, لا يعلمه مخلوق. الشيخ سير سجوي some of the people of knowledge, they said the smallest multiplication of the fasting start from 700. If you recite one verse of Quran, one letter of Quran, how many hasanat do you have? 10. Okay, it may be more than that, depending on ikhlas, the situation, Allahu a'lam. You give $1 fi sabilillah, the amount of reward you get from Allah is not necessarily the amount of someone else who paid the same dollar get from it, depending on the situation of the person, his ikhlas, his income, the need of those, and many things. So as for that, but as for fasting, the least you get every the fasting is 700. Some ulama say that. It doesn't start with 10. Then all the way to no, it started from 700 reward if you fast. You pray Salat al-Asr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal, يعني, you pray Salat al-Asr, Allah reward you with 10 salawat of Asr. Salat al-Dhuhr, 10 salawat of Dhuhr. Because every salah is 10. 5 prayer, 50 prayers. 5 prayer, 50 prayers. Salat al-Dhuhr, you pray 1 Salat al-Dhuhr, it's like you pray 10 Salat al-Dhuhr. Except fasting. Some ulama, they say the least you get is 700. Then after that, it gets more. You fast one day, you have the reward of fasting 700 days. The Sheikh said this was said by some of the people of Nari. But what we sure that fasting, the reward of fasting, nobody knows but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only Allah knows, لا يعلمه مخلوق. The second opinion, which is the strongest of those 10 opinions with regard to the meaning of this hadith, is that والقول الثاني من القولين القويين في تفسير هذه الجملة, هذه الجملة الشريفة العظيمة المبشرة للمؤمنين, أن معناها أن كل عمل من آدم له أن يمكن أن يخلص فيه لله ويمكن أن يرائي إلا الصيام, فإنه قرين الإخلاص بعيد عن الرياء في كل أو في بعضه. في كل أي أن يكون الإنسان مخلصا لله من أول يوم إلى آخر يوم, أو في بعضه أي أنه لو دخله الرياء في بعضه فلا بد من الإخلاص في بعضه. كيف هذا؟ قال الإنسان ينام وهو صائم ولا نية رديئة أثناء النوم. أيضا الإنسان وهو صائم لا بد أن يجلس وحده وأن يخلو بنفسه, ومع ذلك هو صائم لله, وفي هذين الموطنين الإخلاص قائم. ثم قد يكون إخلاصه في اليوم كله, وهذا هو الغالب على الصيام. The Sheikh said the other, the second strongest opinion of the meaning of this noble hadith is, which is good news and glad tidings for the believers, is that the meaning, every action of the son of Adam is for him, means that the person can show off in his righteous action except in fasting. There has to be ikhlas in fasting, either a complete free from showing off, or at least a partial of it must be upon ikhlas. How? So either the person is mukhlis, he is sincere, he is far from showing off in his fasting all the day, from the beginning of the day to the end of the day, or at least some of it he is upon ikhlas. How is that going to happen? Like when somebody who fasts and he sleeps. He sleeps. In his sleeping, he doesn't have bad intentions. He doesn't have... Naam. So his fasting remains upon ikhlas. Somebody fasts and he sleeps. Is he showing off in his sleeping? La. So the time he's sleeping, 1 hour he's sleeping while he's fasting, in that 1 hour, did he show off in his fasting? So at least in fasting, there has to be ikhlas. Likewise, somebody sit by himself, he the same thing. Taib. And the Sheikh said, or the ikhlas may be the whole day, and that is the most of the case. That believer, he doesn't show off in his fasting, he is ikhlas. The Sheikh said, والقولان صحيحان مرادان فكلاهما مراد. يدلك لذلك أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيما رواه عن ربي أن الله عز وجل قال يترك طعامه وشرابه وشهوته من أجلي والحسنة بعشر أمثالها. هذا عند البخاري في الصحيح وعند الإمام مالك في الموطأ. يذر طعامه وشرابه وشهوته من أجلي والصوم لي وأنا أجزي به الحسنة بعشر أمثالها إلى 700 ضعف إلا الصوم فإنه لي وأنا أجزي به. فانظر قد اجتمع القولان عند الإمام مالك. يذر طعامه وشرابه وشهوته من أجله. هذا الإخلاص ما في رياء، إنما يترك طعامه لله، يترك شرابه لله، يترك شهوته لله، والصوم لي وأنا أجزي به. إذن هذا يشير إلى القول الثاني بالإخلاص. ثم الحسنة بعشر أمثالها إلى 700 ضعف إلا الصوم فإنه لي وأنا أجزي به. هذا يدل على القول الأول، فدل ذلك على أن القولين صحيحان مرادان. The Sheikh, Hafidhahullah, he said, and the two opinions, both are strong. That the reward of fasting, only Allah knows, and that the fasting and ikhlas go together, go along with another. That's what it means, Allah saying, fasting is for Allah. It is for Allah. Meaning, it is He subhanahu wa ta'ala who knows the reward of fasting. And it is He Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that the fasting is always there is ikhlas, either in all of it or at least some of it. The Sheikh, these two opinions are right. And he mentioned a hadith showing so. He mentioned the hadith showing so. Then the Sheikh said, وبالنسبة لكون الصيام لا رياء فيه جاء في ذلك حديث عند أبي داود في المراسيل عن الزهري أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا رياء في الصيام ووصله البيهقي وغيره، لكن أسانيد الموصول ضعيفة فهو مرسل، لكن يشهد لهذا القول الذي ذكره بعض أهل العلم. الشيخ سأل كل عمل آدم له إلا الصيام، قال في الحديث كل عمل آدم له إلا الصيام فإنه لي وأنا أجزي به. ولذلك يا عبد الله إذا صمت فاستشعر هذا الشرف إلا الصيام فإنه لي ربك يقول هذا. ولذلك يا إخوة الصوم عند المؤمن يجمله ويكمله ويحافظ عليه، يجمله بحسن النية ويكمله باجتناب المحرمات ويحافظ عليه باجتناب المفطرات. كيف أجمل صومي بالنية الصالحة؟ كيف أكمل صومي بأن أجتنب المحرمات لا نظر إلى حرام ولا استماع لحرام ولا كلام بحرام، أصوم عن الحرام، لا أسمح لعيني بأن تنظر إلى ما لا يريده الله، ولا أسمح لأذني بأن تسمع ما لا يريده الله، ولا أسمح للسان بأن يتكلم بما لا يريده الله سبحانه وتعالى، وأحافظ على صومي بأن أجتنب المفطرات. The Sheikh said in this hadith Allah عز وجل said all the actions of the son of Adam is for him except for fasting, it is for me and I will give the reward for it. The Sheikh said, therefore, O the slave of Allah, when you fast, have this great honor feeling. Except fasting is for me. Your Lord says that. Therefore, my brothers, the believer, he beautify his fasting, he complete his fasting, he preserve his fasting. He beautify it with good intentions. He completed by avoiding the sinning. And he preserved by avoiding the nullifiers. How do I beautify my fasting? With a good intention. How do I complete my fasting? By staying away from the prohibitions. Don't look at haram. Don't listen to the haram. Don't say a haram thing. I am fasting from the haram, from the unlawful things. I don't allow my eye to look at what Allah doesn't like, what Allah doesn't want. I don't allow my ears to listen to that which Allah doesn't want it. I don't allow my tongue to speak with that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want it. I preserve my fasting. I safeguard my fasting by avoiding the nullifiers. So in Siyam, the Shaykh says those three things. Make your fasting beautiful. Number one, make your fasting complete. Number three, make your fasting, safeguard your fasting. How you make your fasting beautiful? Ikhwa, with good intention. How you complete your fasting? By avoiding the sinning, backbiting, looking haram and the like. How do you safeguard and preserve your fasting? By avoiding the nullifiers. You didn't understand? Those three things. Who can repeat it? If you are in a class and you fell asleep, what is the sunnah to do? Ya Yaqub, you are fast, you are in a class. It's not you who sleep. It's not you. You are in the class and you sleep. What should you do? Do you remember anything with regard to the sun? Barakallahu feek. Ahsanta, barakallahu feek. Say the hadith about the Friday lecture. Never about the, how about the normal class? You don't know it. Barakallahu feek. Zadakallahu min fadli. Tayyip, who else? The hadith that when somebody sleep in the lecture, a Friday lecture, person he should relocate, change the place. It does only applies to the Friday lecture or is it general, anytime you are in class. Na'am? General Manqal, Al-Yemen. Tayyip, ta'akkad wa abhath lana al-mas'ala. Make research, Ali. Barakallahu fiqh. Let us know. Yes. It's a homework, so don't miss the class. Tomorrow night, inshallah. We have the class also tomorrow night. Monday night, we also have the class between Maghrib, inshallah. Tayyip. So, the fasting needs those three things, Sheikh said, to make your fasting beautiful, to complete your fasting, and to safeguard your fasting. How you safeguard your fasting, avoid the nullifiers of fasting. How you complete your fasting, avoid sinning. How do you make your fasting beautiful? By good intentions. Then the Shaykh said, يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم والصيام جنة جنة يقول العلماء مثلثة مثلثة جيم جنة وجنة وجنة والمعنى واحد. ومعنى جنة سترة ووقاية، والمقصود أن الصوم سترة ووقاية من فعل الحرام، فمن صام زاد إيمانه وسهل عليه أن يجتنب الحرام، ومن صام فترك المباح لله استعظم في نفسه ألا يترك الحرام لله، فيترك الحرام لله لأنه ترك المباح لله. وسترة ووقاية من الأخلاق الرديئة، فالصيام يهذب النفوس، ولذلك قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بعد أن قال والصيام جنة، فإذا كان يوم صوم أحدكم فلا يرفث ولا يصخب، فإن سابه أحد أو قاتله فليقل إني امرؤ صائم. أيضا هو سترة من أثر الذنوب، لأن أثر الذنوب قد يكون في الدنيا وقد يكون في الآخرة، والصيام مكفر للذنوب، فهو سترة من أثر الذنوب. أيضا هو سترة من عذاب القبر، فقد جاء في الحديث الذي رواه ابن حبان والطبراني وابن خزيمة والحاكم وصححه على شرط مسلم وحسنه الإمام الألباني أن الصيام يكون في القبر عن يمين المؤمن، فإذا أتى ملائكة العذاب المؤمن عن يمينه قال الصيام ليس إليه من قبلي سبيل، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم، وهو أيضا سترة وقاية من النار كما شرحنا. The Sheikh said the hadith Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said and fasting is Jannah. They say this word Jannah is from the Arabic words which are called مثلثات. مثلثات يعني جنه بفتح اليسي جو أو جا أو جي is the same meaning. جنة جنة جنة. This word is called مثلث. مثل أصبع إصبع أو أصبع بفتح الهمزة وكسرها وضمها، أو بفتح الباء وكسرها وضمها. أصبع 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 باء فتحة كسر الضمة أو الهمزة أصبع إصبع أصبع كله صحيح. Then the Sheikh said the fasting is sutra. What is sutra? A scream. It's a scream from three things. From what? From bad manners. And from what? From sinning. And from what? From hellfire. Barakallahu fiq. So when you are fasting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you these three things. When you fast the correct way, it changes your manner. Therefore, if someone wanna fight you, someone wanna argue with you, you say, no, I'm not. Somebody's yelling on you, you don't yell with him. I'm fasting. So if you continue this hours and hours, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is going to be your way of life. It's going to be your manner. Also, it's a fasting is sutra, is a screen from committing sin. Because when you're fasting, you don't look whatever you want, you don't listen whatever you want, you don't say whatever you want, so you will stay away from haram. Also, fasting is a screen from hellfire. Because you avoid what leads to the hellfire of sinning. So fasting is junnah, alayhi salam, it's a defense, it's a shield from those three things. The Sheikh حفظه الله said فإذا كان about the hadith commenting on the hadith فإذا كان يوم صوم أحدكم فلا يرفث وقلنا إن الرفث هو الكلام الفاحش البذيء الذي يمنع شرعا أو يستقبح طبعا، وقلنا إن بعض أهل العلم قال إنه لفظ جامع لكل ما يريده الرجل من المرأة. قال الشيخ ولا يصخب يعني لا يرفع صوته مصارخا عند الخصومة ونحوها. ذكرنا هذا بالأمس، ذكر العلماء هنا فائدة وهي أنه يلحق برفع صوت رفع كل صوت مؤذن مثل ضرب زمارة السيارة. بعض الناس يسمونه كلكس. ما معنى زمارة السيارة؟ ما معنى كلكس؟ نعم كلاكس the horn. That's what it means. طيب بعض الناس في رمضان يحلو له هذا حتى والسيارة بعيدة عنه يضرب هذا الكلكس ويقول والله صائم يا أخي. الصيام يقتضي ألا تسخط وألا تؤذي الناس برفع صوتك في الخصومة أو في الأسواق ونحو ذلك، فكيف بمثل هذه الأصوات؟ The Sheikh said the hadith ولا يسخب he didn't yell. The علماء they mentioned we take the same rule is raising annoying voice up, raising annoying voice. And he gave example like horn in the car, the horn of the car. He says some people, that's what they like in Ramadan. The other car is very far from them, but still they use this horn. And they say, Akhi, I'm fasting. The fasting necessitates not to get angry and not to harm anybody with your voice. In yelling, in argument, don't raise your voice, don't yell in argument, in the market. How about this? Like horn. It's more disturbing. Now, subhanAllah, in some country, especially some Muslim country, horn is yani, it's like, for no reason they horn it. For no reason. لا حول ولا قوة. Here in America is very dangerous. Some people may even shoot you. Be careful. It happened. Look at the perception of the people. Some people, they take it insulting. That's how they understand when you hone on them. Unless it's necessity and understandable, you cannot just do that. In some country, no. It's a part of the life. Yes. For no reason. The religion of Allah is in the middle. Don't shoot somebody because he horn. And don't horn without a reason. So some people go far to the right, others go far to the left. Islam is in the middle course. Al-Adil. Some people, they may not smile to you, but in their heart, they don't have a problem with you. Some people, they smile to you, and when you pass, they may cut your neck. So, both. Smiling with good heart. Not saying, Akhi, my heart is pure, mashallah. I don't have to smile to anybody. I asked one of the brothers, I said, Akhi, those people who their culture is not to say to their wife, I love you. Some people have that culture. Can you believe? Some culture, they don't say to their wife, the man doesn't say to his wife, I love you. Shame. They even don't call a name of respect. Where is the kid, the mother's kids? That's the way they say. So I asked one of those people, you've been in the US a long time. And you see here the cultures to say your wife, if you love, I love you. And this is the religion too. When you love somebody, you say, I love you. He laughed and he said, he says that in his heart. He said, I say that in my heart. This is a cultural difference. But this culture is wrong. Another one, he gave us good news. Alhamdulillah, the sister become Muslim by his hand. Alhamdulillah, after Allah. We're very happy. Layman from those people. He has his own culture. We're very happy. After time, he tell us he married. MashaAllah. After time, he tell us about to divorce her. Why? He said he has two problems. She break the wudu from him. He wants to go to the masjid, she hug him, she kiss him, and he believe the wudu is gone because this is the method of Shafi'i. If your wife touch you, she break the wudu. So she bothered me. The second thing he said, which is difficult to him, she keep on saying to me, I love you. The other one we explained to him, this is a school of thought, Akhi, and inshallah, the strong opinion is your wife doesn't break your wudu. But as for the other, what's wrong with if your wife tells you, I love you? He says, it's too much. He says, sometimes if I forget to say, I love you too, she already get mad. He says, where is the love then? Ala kulli hal, people have different, the religion is a middle course. You say to the one you love, and you are truthful, I love you. Not our hypocrisy, not lying, not deceiving. By the way, some brothers, they say to you, I love you only when they have a problem with you. I don't know if you figure out that. Some brothers, they say, brother, I love you only when you have problem. Why you didn't say, I love you when you don't have problem with me? Nah, that has to be truthful. A husband and a wife, they are separated at night. It's gone. He said, I love you. You are leaving your wife. You're divorcing her. You cannot live with her. What is the position? I love you here. Al-Muhim. Ala kulli hal, the religion is a middle course. Don't horn unless there is a necessity. You see, accident, a car go off from your way, and something, a child or something happened. Yes, there's necessity. otherwise just a honey every time, like those some Muslim country, this is wrong. You're making everybody scared and fear all the time, especially those who were not used to. Don't do that. Nor you go to the other one and you shoot the one who make horn, who doesn't have problem with you, who you're not even aware of, you're even killing his soul. This is also too extreme. هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على محمد.